Hello, everybody, and welcome to the War Room. This one is for this UFC main event between Rafael Fiziev and Mateus Gamrot. Very excited about this one. Two of my favourite fighters, two of my favourite lightweights. Loads of reasons to be excited about this one. Gamrot has got more experience generally because he came through KSW. He had some really tough fights in KSW. I mean, there was a trilogy with Norman Park, who I'm sure you'll all remember. Really tough fighter, and you know, gave as good as he got, but it's worth watching those fights and going back and seeing the experience that Gamrot had in MMA before he arrived in the UFC. Fiziev, on the other side, he was a bit of a Thailand legend before he joined the UFC, and I remember the hype around him when he joined the UFC roster. He has additional combat sports experience aside from his MMA, but of course Gamrot has, what, 10 fights additional experience, and that will be playing a part in this fight, because it's going to be very much a mixed martial arts fight. It's one of the reasons why I'm looking forward to it. Two stylistically very different fighters, both very, very skilled. Both really push the pace and take risks, which is why I expect this one to be a kind of a back and forth tussle. I expect there to be a lot of level changing and chaotic exchanges, and it's going to be very fast paced. I'm very much looking forward to this one, as you can tell. Quick shout out to our sponsors, just the beverage companies that sponsor us today. We've got Harney and Sons, make just the best tea. This is an organic tune-up. I've been drinking the hot cinnamon spice all weekend. It's incredible. So if you go to harney.com and use the code FULLREPTILE, you'll get 15% off. And then, you know, the old favorite, Outlaw Rum. Fantastic stuff. This is the double cask. It's a little bit more exquisite than the standard one, but both are excellent. Make sure you check out them as well. Outlawrum.co.uk. Okay, so quick tale of the tape. So you've got Fiziev standing at 5'8" compared to Mateus Gamrot, who is 5'10". So a 2-inch height advantage for Gamrot, 1-inch reach advantage for Fiziev at 71 inches compared to Gamrot at 70. When we look at their records, 22-2 for Gamrot with one no contest, 12-2 for Fiziev. On top of the 12-2 for Fiziev, we've got to remember, though, the 47-8 with kickboxing experience. Just a quick breakdown of their records. Now, Gamrot is 22 wins, 7 by knockout, and 5 by submission. Heel hooks, guillotines, kimuras, key locks. Very much a limb attacker. He will clamp onto a neck if it's there, but he loves arms, he loves ankles. He's going to be diving and grabbing ankles and trying to pull them into him. He's very good at clamping on arms and isolating individual limbs. A really, really dangerous grappler. You know, very well respected, very credentialed. Fiziev on the other side, 12 wins on his record, 8 by knockout and 1 rear naked choke on his record. Definitely the power punching, the ability to stop people with strikes goes on to Fiziev's side. And we know from the RDA fight that he's able to stop people in the fifth round as much as he is in the first. What else is there I need to tell you about? Well, I've got some clips. Let me just give you a quick, because their careers are quite interesting, right? Like I said, like I remember that there was so much hype around both of them. From Gamrot, he was on the KSW scene. He was very, very well known in Poland. Across Europe, people were talking about how dangerous he was and how comparable to other highly ranked lightweights he was. And this was before he moved into the UFC. When he came over to the UFC, he lost his debut to Goram Kutateladze, which was one of the closest fights and one of the most entertaining fights that you'll ever see on a UFC event. And even in the post-fight interview, Kutateladze didn't feel like he'd won the fight. He felt like Gamrot had taken the decision. I mean, you go back and watch it and tell me what you think in the comments. But it was just a barn burner of a fight. And I remember Gamrot being disappointed. And I remember the people that were hyping him up before he came to the UFC being like, that was, you know, that's not Gamrot. Wait till you see, you know, what he's really capable of, etc. We can't undermine the level of his opponent. Kutateladze is incredibly dangerous. But still, Gamrot is a high-level operator. And was when he arrived in the UFC. And kind of the same for Fiziev. There was a lot of hype around him. He was, you know, one of the coaches at Tiger Muay Thai. He was very, very well respected as a striker. came over to the US, and that's one other thing that stood out. People were talking about how he did the little senchai drop back to get out of the way of kicks. He's very, very flexible at the waist, kind of bending himself away and avoiding those high kicks. Spinning kicks were a big part of his game as well, and I remember people talking about that. And when he came into the UFC, he was, I mean, he looked confident, he looked relaxed. It was almost like a foregone conclusion that he was going to win. And he came up against a very tough Magomed Mustafayev, who caught him with a spinning attack and kind of derailed his UFC debut. So that's one of his two losses. So if we focus on Fazeev, he had a 6-fight win streak. He came into the UFC and lost his debut against Mustafayev. And then he went on another 6-fight win streak, and then he's picked up that loss to Gaethje. On Gamrot's side, he had a 17-fight win streak with one no contest against Norman Park. Then he lost his UFC debut against Kutateladze, and you can see why there was hype. I mean, you know, 17-0 with one no contest, making his UFC debut. Lost to Kutateladze, went on a 4-fight win streak, lost to Dariush, and then has pulled that one back against Jalen Turner. So quite storied careers, you know. Like, they've picked up a couple of losses, but both of them in their UFC debut, even though they were the ones that were expected to come in and be impressive. I'm so excited for this fight for a variety of different reasons. Let's have a quick look at some clips, and then I'm going to talk through the stats, because the stats support the clips and kind of how we expect this fight to go. Now, of course, Fazeev is going to want this fight on the feet. Most likely, Gamrot's going to want this fight on the ground, right? Fazeev's a very, very good technical striker with great takedown defense. His takedown defense is 90%. And this is something else that's very, very similar. They've got very similar statistics. I think their average fight time is like 12 minutes and 16 seconds, both of them. both got 90% takedown defense. Both got 51% striking accuracy as well. Now, the variance comes in the fact that Fazeev's got a higher striking output. Gamrot's got a higher wrestling output. Now, Gamrot is successful with 31% of his takedowns, and he's landed 26 takedowns. So that's one third of the takedowns that he's attempted. And one of the reasons why I like Gamrot's style is because the first takedown attempt is almost never the one that he actually wants to finish with. He's very good at pulling himself into range and grabbing a limb, an ankle, or something, and kind of pulling himself into his opponent. Or he'll grab a hold of them and destabilize them and then slowly release them to re-grab them. I'll show you what I'm talking about in a moment. But for me, Gamrot moves around and dives low for the legs. Fazeev moves around and then attacks through ranges, stepping through with his stances, switching his stance back and forth. They're both switch stance fighters. Let's look at Fazeev first, because that's the first lot of clips. And I just want to look at this ability to step through range and how he disguises it. It's really, really clever. Now, this is a bit of a mishmash of clips here, but there's a reason why I've put them in this order. Look at that. Okay. So something that we know about Fazeev is that he's a Thai boxer. He's a very good Thai boxer. He's got conditioned shins. He can kick from both stances, but when he's orthodox, kicking off his right leg is his preference. He's got great front kicks to the midsection off his back leg. He's got great body kicks and great head kicks. And because those three techniques look very similar when they're on their way out of the hip, it's difficult to judge which one's coming. So you get people tending to try and block like the vast majority of their body or like sweep him for a kick that's going to come high. And he's very, very good at hiding this. But he's also very aware at how people are tuned into that technique. So he makes people twitchy by throwing it, or he'll use it to feint to cover distance and make people move back. Now, this is the kick I'm talking about. And I've pulled this one from the second round, just so ignore that. Don't matter. I just want you to pay attention to how this kick comes out. See, all the way through this, that could be anything. That could be a high kick, that could be a body kick, that could be a teep. And you can see it's difficult for RDA to kind of judge what's happening. Like, look what he's doing with his arms. Like, it's almost like he's holding tie pads, like he's trying to catch them with something. He doesn't know where the kick's going to go. Now, this one kind of cuffs off the back of his arm. But you'll see what it does to RDA. As soon as the kick comes out, it gets the response. His arms come out and he starts to move away. Because ultimately, you're either going to take this kick on the arms or you're going to be out of the way of it. they're very, very powerful kicks, and you really don't want to be taking them on the forearms or on the biceps, triceps, because it would deaden your arms. And Fiziev knows this, which is why he doesn't mind throwing it. So what I want you to pay attention to is the reaction that we get from RDA, right? The kicks come out, RDA's kind of... he's kind of trying to cover as best he can with what he can, right? Now, this is from the second round. I just wanted to use this to demonstrate the kick. But watch this at the end of the first round, the way that he throws this. So we've got a couple of right hands, kind of a lazy right hand, and then he's going to bring his rear knee up. You see that rear knee come up? Now, we catch it on the angle change, unfortunately. But you see him bring the knee up, and you see him start to extend the leg. But as soon as the leg makes contact with the arm of RDA, you can see it's kind of it's caught his forearm as it's come across. You can see the glove here. Is that green? We normally have green. Don't we normally have red? Didn't we have red before? Can you see that? That looks good, doesn't it? We like red. Okay. There's RDA's arm. You can see how he's brought the arm across. So he's covering his head and the majority of his body. He's brought this arm across to kind of down block the front kick that's come into the midsection. But as Fiziev feels that contact on his leg, he's going to bring the leg back and he's going to switch it into another technique. See how he brings his leg back? Here we go. This is where the camera angle changes look. So you can see the kick coming out there. You can see the contact with RDA's forearm. But watch how Fiziev switches his legs here from this kick. See how he resets his feet? And at the same time as his feet being reset, he chambers this hand. He pulls it back to his guard, right? It's clear what he's doing, but in the moment when you're blocking the kick, you're not noticing that he's chambering this left hook ready for the next technique, especially given the fact that he's gone right kick to right hand. See, RDA is still reacting. He's still reacting to what's coming out. But everything at the moment is coming out in front of him. So he's blocking the front kick and he's blocking the hand. So everything is dealing with that center channel. He's not thinking about what's coming around in the outer gates. So we go kick, stance switches. As the stance switches, the right hand goes out to keep RDA occupied. And then a big left hook. I love it. And this is not the one that really, this is not the one that hurts RDA, but this lands in the first round. And what I want you to see is how these things connect together. Because you can see the reaction of RDA. Fiziev sees the reaction of RDA. He recognizes that when he throws that kick, that his arms are here. There's a pocket here where he's open, right? You can see how Fiziev's opened that door for himself by using the right technique. And you also have to anticipate that RDA and his camp, they've watched Fiziev. So they're coming into the fight with these pre-prepared expectations that they're going to get hit with this right body kick. So they're not thinking about what's coming after it. They're thinking about the first problem they've got to solve, which is you don't want to take too many of those body kicks. Let's just play it through slow motion. So front kick gets blocked. I remember this is second round to first round. I just couldn't find a good example of the kick from the first round. But here we go again. So the back leg comes through. It's the end of the first round. Switch, big left hook. Beautiful. Now let's fast forward to the start of the fifth round, right? So three rounds have passed here. Watch how similar this is. I mean, the difference is, I mean, so that's we're going from the last 15 seconds of the first round to the first 15 seconds of the last round. So 15 minutes has played out in between these two techniques happening. But you can see how very similar they are. The difference that you'll really see in the replay is the distance that Fiziev covers, because now he's more confident. Now they're flowing more with their techniques. Now RDA is giving him a bit more space as well. So the same thing happens. The back leg comes through. The right hand goes out, but this time, instead of him switching his stance to chamber the left hand, he's stepping through. He's covering more distance. Now, the stance switch works if the opponent covers but doesn't move back, right? And this is where Fiziev is very good at changing his technique in the pocket to make up for or to give the space, right? Enter the dragon. Literally, I should have this tattooed on my forehead. Like, when my opponent expands, I contract, right? When RDA moves at him, Fiziev moves away. He contracts. But when my opponent contracts, I expand. Now, RDA in the first round didn't contract enough for Fiziev to fully expand with his technique. So he did the stance switch, which rechambered the left hook to land. In the fifth round, where there was more space, RDA contracted further, which means that Fiziev was able to expand into that space and follow through with the technique. Like, I mean, literally look how similar they are. Let's just go again. Rear knee comes up. Right hand, switch, left hook. Lovely. Next round. Fifth round. Three rounds later. Rear leg, right hand, big left hook. But now that left hook is coming over the top as a rear power hand because he stepped his stance through. Is this making sense? I hope so. Like, and you'll see in the replay as well how much more distance he's covering. I'm sure I left the replay in. Here we go. So, knee's going to come up the center line. It's going to trigger RDA to start moving away, moving towards the camera, moving back towards us, towards our perspective. Here comes the leg coming through. You can see RDA doing the same thing with the hands. The hands are coming down. There he's sweeping. He's doing some kung fu to try and catch whatever's coming in his direction. The arm sweep. Front foot lands this time, you see, because he's not getting the same kind of impact. Now he's landing on the hand of RDA. Can you just about see that? It's the hand of RDA this time instead of the forearm. He's realizing, and this again, this is not a conscious thing. That he's not flowing through this and making these decisions. This is the point of training. He's had these reactions trained into him, so he knows where he needs to give a bit more space or take a bit more space away. As he's traveling through here, he feels RDA connect with that lead foot. He's traveling already. RDA's moving back. The lead foot goes down. The right hand comes out, makes connection with RDA's guard. And then the left hand powers through. It's a beautiful punch. Really is. And I just love the flow through the range. It's very, very Muay Thai, this is. Well, this is a slow-mo of a slow-mo. Bang. See, the thing is, look, RDA is covered for everything else. The kick doesn't land. He's out of the way for the kick. It's not really meant to be a kick anyway because he doesn't even extend his leg. He comes through with the knee. He kind of slaps with the right hand, but you can see RDA's got his guard up here, so he's covered from this. But same thing again. He's open on this same side for that left hand. Caught it. Bang. Beautiful. Look at that. And one of my other favourite knockouts by Fiziev is very, very similar. Hear it one more time. Pow. Look at that. Look where RDA's arms are. Covered the head, covered the body. Wide open on this side. Like, Fiziev has opened the door for himself by using two feints to occupy RDA's guard so he can make sure that left hand goes through unchecked with full power. And unlike the first round, when he had to switch his stance to land it, this time he was able to step through and gain that momentum. Like, this is like a Muay Thai version of a Ketchu shift. The Ketchu shift is where you throw a power punch from one side, your back leg steps through, so you rechamber, so you're power punching from the other side. Golovkin does it really well. Someone that's worth watching. Golovkin does this really well. I'm trying to remember the guy that he fought. Backed him up against the fence and punched him down on the top of the head. The Ketchu shift, though, it's the same principle. You're getting your opponent to move backwards at the same time as rechambering for another power shot. Beautiful, beautiful work by Fiziev here. And then we go on to his knockdown of Moicano, and we see the same kind of thing. Like, look at this, like traveling again. It's slightly different, this one, but I'm just going to play it through full speed. The speed is blistering. Ba, ba, bam. One more. I do this all the time. Ba, ba, bam. And it's the left hook again. Look at that. And the thing is as well, like of course, you know, when we're learning how to punch, we're always talking about planting our feet, making sure we're connected with the floor. There are certain times, of course, when people are going to leave the floor to land a power punch. You know, you look at Mike Tyson, you look at Gervonta Davis, shorter, powerful fighters in weight classes where they're fighting fighters that are bigger than them, longer than them. They're having to propel themselves into the air to trigger the power punch. They're carrying the momentum of themselves going through the air at the same time. And although it's quite a subtle leaving of the floor that we get from Fiziev in this last punch, you can see the transfer of power really well, really well. Okay, so again, we're gonna give Moicano two things to think about straight away. We're gonna go hook to the body, hook to the head. So two attacks coming straight away. Moicano is gonna bring his arm down to compensate for this attack, and he's gonna bring this arm up to compensate for this. He's doing the same thing that he does with RDA, opening up the pocket for the left hand to come through. Like, you can see that as Moicano's moving back, look, you see his elbow drop. Like, you can see his elbow pinch into his side there to cover the punch that's coming into the body, but you can also see that he's open here to the top of the head. Then, of course, Fazeev's going to continue travelling forward, and this right hand is now going to come over the top into that pocket, which is going to crack him. Hurts him with that shot. Now, you can see here, as Moicano starts to buckle, you're going to get a little bit of a push off with this forearm from Fazeev. He's just going to kind of shove him and give himself a bit more space. See that little push there? Now, the problem that Fazeev's got is that he's thrown the power punch. He's thrown this over the top, but Moicano doesn't move back far enough to allow him to step this front foot all the way through, which is what he wants to do. So what you'll see is, as the right hand lands, this foot's kind of stuck here. There's not enough space for him to continue travelling forward. So the generation of the power from the left foot into the left hand changes slightly. Again, very, very instinctive for him. It's just hours of repetition and pad work and sparring. So Moicano's being pushed away. The range is being created. As he's fallen away, what we're going to see is we're going to see Fazeev drive off this left leg. Like, imagine like a corkscrew, like it's driving off the floor, and it's being driven into the left hand, right? This drive that's coming off the floor is then being transferred from this leg over onto this leg. But at the same time as him doing it, he's going to propel himself off the floor. Again, it's not ideal, but there are certain moments where jumping into a technique does work. Jumping knees, jumping kicks, even jumping punches, Superman punches. GSP's Superman jab was very, very useful, difficult to get around. The gazelle punch is a very popular punch in boxing, and it has to be utilized correctly. But the connection with the floor has to be there. You can't just jump and throw the punch. You have to jump with the momentum of the punch already twisted into it. And you can see this through Fazeev. You can see it coming up this left leg, going into his hip, which transfers into his shoulder. Let me see if you can see it. So we're paying attention to this foot. This foot's connecting with the floor. He's driving off that. You can see how that leg's straightening, and it pushes his hip forward. Can you see that? You can see that twist in his hip. Now, with that twist in his hip, I hope this is not too complicated. I hope this is making sense. As the left leg straightens, this hip kicks forward, which then kicks the shoulder forward. And with that kick, takes the punch, right? Left leg straightens. Left leg straightens. Left hip comes through. Left shoulder comes through. And at this point, the punch has been triggered, which is why, as he leaves the floor here, it's not the end of the world. Because the power has already been generated into the punch. And what we're going to see him do is we're just going to see him reset his feet to catch the momentum. See, it goes from his back foot, it goes up and through into his front foot, the transfer of power. But the reason I like this angle is because you can see it really clearly through the hip. You can see the hip move forward and the shoulder follow it. Hip to shoulder, look at that, beautiful. We see it a lot with Izzy when he's throwing his hooks. He's very good at generating power through his midsection with his hooks. Lovely. I just love the travel through on his strikes. Okay, let me watch this through one more time. And then we'll talk about Gamrot, because again, he's a wizard. There's so many things to talk about with Gamrot. Beautiful. Really lovely twist through. You'll see it on this next angle. You'll see how he lifts off the floor as he goes. Here we go. One, two, bang. Look at that. It's plyometric. It's like when people throw medicine balls at walls. You see them in the CrossFit gyms and stuff, and they go, that last throw, sometimes you do just lift off the floor a little bit, but that's because you've generated the power from the floor. You've driven off the floor, and you're going to carry that momentum into the punch. You're going to allow it to go. See how he's driving. See how that left leg straightens. It drives the hip through, which drives the shoulder through, which brings the hook around. Arrows for days. There goes the hip. Look at that. Wham! Very nice. Very nice, very nice. Big fan of Fiziev's fighting style. So, of course, Fiziev at range, having his way with striking is really dangerous. The thing that I would like if I was Gamrot is the fact that he does travel forward very quickly, and Gamrot's really good at bending at the waist. Just like Fiziev is very good at bending away at the waist to avoid kicks, Gamrot is very good at bending at the waist to threaten the lower body attacks, the level changes. People know that he can grab an ankle and drag them into things, and that's something Fiziev's going to be careful about because he does like to travel forward. He does like to take his feet with him, and if at any point he starts to lunge into that left hook, he's going to find Gamrot in on his hips, in on his legs. So he's going to have to be really, really cautious at how he does this. And it's the same thing with his kicking as well. But then this is where it flips, you see. Because if I'm Fiziev, I'm thinking to myself, I want Gamrot to start trying to catch this body kick as much as possible. Because Gamrot does. He does reach for things and grab things to pull them in. Sometimes it works well for him. But if you've got someone that keeps digging shots into the midsection and now Gamrot starts to try and reach for those kicks or... You can see what opens up. Anytime you're occupying your hands to catch, you're open for counters. And this is where Fiziev can potentially utilize Gamrot's style against him by triggering him to reach for the body kicks and then setting him up to either go high with the body kick or to trigger the catch, come back with the left hook. You can picture it yourself. On Gamrot's side, he's very wily, he's very smart, and he's very good at kind of coasting around the outside of the cage and like lunging in as if he's going to attack and then pulling himself out. But when he dives in, first of all, he's very good at changing his rhythm and his timing. So he's very good at catching people unawares, which is you're going to see in a second when he fights for Haider. But the other thing I love about his style is that he doesn't, like, there's no panic commitment to one thing, right? And I've felt this myself because I'm not a wrestler. It's not my instinct. So if I grab a hold of a single leg and I'm in on a single leg, I'm like, I've got it. I've got a single leg. And I just keep trying to do this same takedown over and over again on the single leg. And I learned this from GSP, right? Because he would go single leg, pull that into a knee tap, up to a body lock. Like the fluidity of going from one technique to another is something that I admire about Gamrot's style and something that's very difficult for his opponents to defend. Because they're not defending a takedown. They're defending a takedown after a takedown after a takedown after a neck attack after an ankle attack after a takedown. And it's constant. And then he pulls out and he's gone. And he's wandering around again. And you're like going to chase him down. Then you step in to hit him with strikes and he's in on your legs again. And it's that exhausting and chaotic style that Gamrot's got that could really throw Fiziev off his game. So let's have a look at this. So what I liked about this, and you can see what I'm talking about with this, look at the casual walk away. Now, what's just happened is Fajeda's just attacked him. Gamrot's just ran into the fence and then ran around, and he's just circled himself back into the cage. This is what's happening right now. And as Gamrot's walking back in kind of casually, he's going to plant that left foot and he's going to dive into the legs. Casual, 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 casual. Bang, go. And before Fajeda knows it, Gamrot's and look at the distance he's shooting from as well. He's straight in on the leg, he's reaching, arms go out in front of him, grabs the leg, pulls himself to the leg, or pulls the leg to him. Bit of both. Like, look at this. He's around the ankle here, he's pulling that leg to himself, and he straight away circles with the intention of dumping Fajeda on his ass there. Simple single leg attack. Very loose on the leg as well, like most people would want to be on the thigh here, but Gamrot just keeps a hold of that ankle. Now, Fajeda does the right things here. First of all, he's not going to give his back. Second of all, he's not going to settle and sit on the floor and go, oh, okay, I guess we've been taken down. Like, this is where Aldo was so good against Mendez, because it was like he was kind of bouncing off the floor to get back to his feet. So what you're going to notice here is Fajeda knows he's going down, he's going to plant his left hand out, and he's going to start to spring back to his feet. But at the same time as him trying to post on his right leg and get back up to his feet in this direction, Gamrot's still got his ankle. And at the same time as having his ankle, Gamrot's still going to keep moving forward. So that ankle never gets back underneath Fajeda. It's always climbing over his head, which makes it so difficult for him to get back to his feet, especially to get back to his feet without giving his back. So this is the key here that Gamrot, that I love about Gamrot's style. First attack, grabs it, single leg, runs the pipe, very loosely runs the pipe. Fajeda plants his hand. He tries to get back to his feet, but Gamrot, look how sticky he is on this ankle. Still got a grip on that ankle, but not committed to it, not panic committed. Keeps the ankle, keeps it for long enough. Still moving forward, look, keeps it for long enough. Fajeda has to bail out, and then Gamrot reestablishes his attack. And the thing is, like I said, Fajeda does the right things. As he's getting up, he's posting on the hip, he's getting his legs back underneath him, trying to get them away from Gamrot, and he's got both his arms in play underneath. So Gamrot's not getting around to his back without him having to fight underhooks first. But of course, the momentum of Gamrot moving forward forces Fajeda to continue scrambling, which now puts Gamrot in this position where he's in a body lock up against the fence. So that was a really kind of, it doesn't matter how we get to the floor, but we're going to get there somehow. So if you're Gamrot and you have 31% takedown accuracy with 26 takedowns scored, how many takedown attempts was that? And if you watch his other fights, how many takedown attempts are being scored as attempts that are actually leading to a takedown, right? The chain wrestling, similar to Sterling, that his ability to chain wrestle is ultimately what gets the takedown in the end. And that is wrestling. I mean, I'm not the person to tell you, but like when you're watching two high-level wrestlers, it's never really decided by one takedown, never. Like it's decided by a chain of back and forths, or one person escaping, the other person having to reestablish his attack. That's what we're seeing here from Gamrot, and it happens very quickly. Let's watch it full speed. In on the leg, pull the ankle, run, reclamp. Like there's two releases there. There's two releases. Grab, hold, release. Release. Stay over him while he's scrambling. Grab a hold. Doesn't get what he wants. Releases. Re-grabs. Gets to the back. And then from here, we know what he does. He nails him with a knee to the ribs, which, well, I'm not sure whether you can see it here. So that little shadow there, that's the edge of Diego Fajeda's latissimus dorsi. That's gonna sweep into his lower back muscles down here. Now, in this little pocket right here, that's where the ribs start to become exposed. And you're gonna have a couple of ribs that are connected to the rib cage, which are going to be below that here. And then you're going to have a floating rib here, which is not connected at the front side. If you can do damage to a floating rib, it's almost always game over. But even if you can do damage to those ribs that are connected, it's a debilitating pain. Any kind of squeezing or coughing or laughing, it's incredibly painful. And what we see with Gamrot here is he's chased this takedown to the back here, and he's going to swing this knee in. Look at that. Look how he swings that in. And Fajeda's relaxed here. Like, he's like, my goodness, okay. He didn't get the takedown, but we're up against the fence and I'm on my knees. And now Fajeda's thinking, I'm going to work back to my feet in a second, but I'm going to have a moment to recover. And before he gets a chance, Gamrot's going to smash this knee in. Look how he turns his hip, brings it up, opens his hip out, and then turns. So the point of the knee is going into the ribs. And straight away, like as soon as he starts to kind of twist and move, you can see Fajeda's like, get me out of here. Beautiful knee by Gamrot. But the chain of things that happen, I always get people complaining in the comments, just play it through, stop pulling it back and forth. I'm trying to teach you something, people. Listen. Let me play it through for you, full speed. Just watch how quickly it happens. Single leg, runs the pipe. Release, re-catch, release, on the back, settle, bang, knee. Game over. Lovely. And it, obviously, you know, he jumps on him and tries to strangle him and stuff, but doesn't need to. And then we go back to the Holzman fight. And the reason why I've pulled a longer clip of this one, because I want you to understand the game that's being played. And it's difficult when we show really, really tight clips. With this one, what you're going to see is Holzman reacting to the level changes of Gamrot. And we're going to see a preference for Holzman to start to, he kind of throws like a long hook with his palm turned down with the lead hand. And with this, he throws it and then he scoops them onto an uppercut because, of course, he's expecting Gamrot to level change. So he's anticipating this head coming down away from the hook and going onto the uppercut, right? So in this scenario here, you're going to see Holzman throw this uppercut a few times. Here we go. So, first of all, we're going to start with that little level change. Watch. Darts in, touches the legs, and pulls straight back out. Look, he's just testing. Darts in. Darts in. Touches the legs. And he's out. He's like, maybe. Moves away. Pay attention to the backhand of Holzman. There it is with the uppercut. You see how he throws it there? We're going to see it again in a second. He's adamant to catch Gamrot with this uppercut as he's level changing. See how it's postured? See how he's ready to go with it? We're going to see it again here. Ooh, there it is again. Now, this is where Gamrot gets really sticky, and it doesn't really matter how he enters into the takedown. And this is why his success rate maybe isn't as high as it could be. But he makes it work. He's very good at scrambling and finding himself in situations where he's made his opponent vulnerable. He's tried a few things and they're like, oh, okay. He didn't get me. And then he jumps on something else. It's this fluidity of his game, which makes him very difficult to deal with. I know I've criticized his striking a little bit, but Aljamain Sterling, same situation. Like, he's very good at chaining things together and catching and grabbing. Let me just go back and show you this again. Okay, this is why these shows end up being so long, Jamie, because I repeat things over and over. Okay, so think about this, right? Holzman is expecting Gamrot to level change, to start looking for these takedowns. So this hand here is going to keep swinging up and trying to intercept this level change. Holzman's always thinking about that uppercut, and you can see it over and over again in this clip here. Like, over and over again, he's looking for it. He's always postured. Hang on, where are we? You can see him kind of leaning to it. He's just expecting Gamrot to drop his level. There it is, look. He postures for it there. He thought Gamrot was going to drop, so he's back ready to swing that uppercut here. I mean, Gamrot does some really odd things with his striking. I don't particularly like a lot of the things he does. It makes it very risky. And certainly this is where Fazeev can beat him, is if he forces Gamrot into a striking exchange and shuts down his takedown attempts. Because for where Gamrot is good with his grappling, there are certain things about his striking that could be capitalized on by someone like Fazeev. See, like, front kicks up against the fence. Don't do it, kids. Don't do it. It almost never works out. I mean, he's just fortunate here that it glances off the midsection and catches the arm that was meant to hit him with the uppercut. It's not ideal. Like, you end up in these positions where you're up against the fence on one leg, and it's not ideal. But anyway, so we're going to see Gamrot is going to throw that front kick, and then he's going to level change again. But look how low he goes. Like, that uppercut just clips the side of his head. You can see how his head just kind of kicks to the side. So you can see the game plan of Holzman straight away. So Gamrot's aware of this uppercut. Okay, let's move on. Right, so he level changes. Look how much he's reaching for this leg here. Look, he's reaching to grab the leg. Similar to the Fajeda fight, he grabs the leg and he pulls it into him. But this is a slightly different situation. As he pulls himself into this and he's dropping onto it, he's driving his shoulder into it, which is collapsing the knee down in this direction. He's folding the knee to the side. It's like a really low single, but generally the low single, you want to hit into the front side of the knee so they don't twist quite as much. There's a risk here to giving your back. And Gamrot's aware of it. And the reason why we know he's aware of it is because as he starts to pull this leg in and drive his left shoulder into the side of the thigh of Holzman, Holtzman's going to drop down almost as if he's on his back, right? Now, there's a risk here. But what we're going to notice is this leg here from Gamrot is going to step over to the other side of this leg of Holzman, which to an extent nullifies the back threat. It also allows Gamrot to keep driving in the same direction and collapse Holzman down onto his hip, or at least that's the idea. So Gamrot goes over the leg. He's keeping driving. He's still driving into that leg that he grabbed the first time. still trying to pull that foot up. You can see the foot actually through his legs just about. And then he's going to bring this leg over the other side as well. And what this does is it now turns Holtzman to face the same direction that Gamrot's facing, which allows Gamrot to then scramble up onto his back. So first thing he's going to do, he's going to bring that left leg over the back of Holtzman's leg. You can see that there. Then he's going to keep circling and try and bring the other leg around. Now he's trying to expose the back of Holtzman. Can you see how he's driving, trying to force Holtzman to collapse? You can see the bicep curl that he's got on that ankle still from the initial shot. Can you see that? There's the leg of Holtzman. There's the arm of Gamrot. So he's still hooking onto this, still not allowing him to put this knee to the floor and start to get back to his base. Whilst at the same time now he's stepping over this back leg to get to the back of Holtzman. Look at that. Beautiful work. Slides his left knee to the side and brings his right foot over and around to chock the back of that leg. Love the word chock. Chock. Wham. There he is. And that, and the thing is, now Holtzman knows, so he lets go of this hand, and then there's a bit of a scramble. But now Gamrot can let go of that leg and get on his back. Like, it's great just kind of chaining things together, figuring things out mechanically. And like, of course, you know, Holtzman gets back to his feet. He's a good wrestler, good defensive wrestler. Looks for the uppercut again as soon as they separate. In fact, this is a good angle because you can see the left hook, the hook sweeping in here. Look, palm down, arm out straight. The purpose of this is not to hurt him. The purpose of this is to bring his head down so this uppercut can come up and meet it. Is this making sense? Sweeping to bring the uppercut. Like, we've seen Fazeev's left hook. You can see how Holtzman's not throwing his shoulder, his hips into this punch. He's just touching with the side of his glove and then trying with the uppercut once Gamrot's posture's broken. We're going to see the same again. But like, Gamrot knows it, look. You see, like, there's the uppercut again. Like, Gamrot knows that's coming, which is why he keeps tempting him. Now, in this finish, this is where Gamrot lands a knockout punch, which is an unusual thing for Gamrot, really, considering, you know, the knockout statistics. But the reason why this knockout punch opened up was because of the expectation from Holtzman, right? Like, Holtzman can see this jab coming out, so he's trying to drift to the side because after Gamrot's jab, Holtzman's expecting a level change, right? So consider you're from Gamrot's perspective and I'm Holtzman. I'm standing here, right? I'm expecting that jab to come out. So my idea now is I'm going to drop to the side of your jab and let it disappear over my left shoulder, and I'm going to check you with this long hook, and then I'm going to pull you onto my uppercut as you're level changing and moving in that direction. Does this make sense? So the thought process is quite simple for Holtzman. And the reason why he's so sure that that's going to happen is because Gamrot is giving him the reasons to believe it. Watch. Level change. I mean, look, like get the man an Oscar. Like, he sold it to me. Watch the way that he goes, like the like the facial expression, the eyebrows, everything. Sometimes a good feint is just, he's just a... It's silliness, but it will get people reacting. Watch Gamrot here. Let's watch it slow. Like, you can see he's not level changing. All he's doing is he's reminding Holtzman that that's on the table. Huh. And we notice Holtzman, let's pull it back out. We'll notice Holtzman drop his level and pull himself out a little bit. Ooh, you see? Sees the level change, drops his level, kicks his hips away. And then Gamrot's going to throw a jab. And then he's going to drift away. So, like, subconsciously, Holtzman's piecing these things together. He's like, okay, I've seen the level change. I've seen the jab. He's going to level change in a second. He's going to set it up with the jab, right? The pieces are there on the table. But Gamrot doesn't. He throws the jab out there and then commits with a hard right hand. And when we look at the position that Holtzman's in, watch. The jab's coming out. Holtzman's looking to drop to the side so the jab disappears over this side. The left hand is coming up, palm down. He's going to try and crack him with the side of this so he can scoop him into the uppercut, right? We're looking at this hand here. He drops to the side to let the jab go past him. He's going to swing the hook out. But in the time when he's swinging this hook out, Gamrot's coming straight down the pipe through that center channel, because now he's not jabbing to level change. Now he's not going to jab and run onto an uppercut. He's going to jab and punch straight into that center pipe, center channel where Holzman is not defending, because he's here. He's got a left hook out and he's got a right uppercut primed. Yeah, we'll see it from the other angle in a second. Beautiful, really nice setup. And that's the double threat. Like sometimes, like there we go. That's the punch that was going to be the uppercut, right? This is the hook that's sweeping around to encourage Gamrot to level change. This is the punch that was going to come up the center line. But what you'll see, what you can see from here is that Gamrot's gone straight into that center channel with a power shot. And crack Holtzman before he's been able to reset for that uppercut. Really, really nice. But that wouldn't have been an option had Gamrot not been in on Holzman's legs and feinting over and over again, right? So for as good a striker as Fazeev is, and he is a very good striker, there are certain things that he can do to open up Gamrot to be knocked out. But Gamrot's wrestling and takedown ability and scrambling ability and tenaciousness can open up striking options for him. This is why I expect this to be very much a mixed martial arts fight, because I feel like Fazeev is going to be playing different ranges and different techniques of striking to try and trigger Gamrot to reach and wrestle. And I think Gamrot might give Fazeev the impression that he's going to reach and wrestle so he can open up strikes. So then you've got this back and forth play, right? You've got Fazeev trying to get Gamrot to wrestle. Gamrot's trying to trigger Fazeev to defend wrestling so he can start to strike. So both of them are like second guessing and like double playing one another. Like games within games within games is really relevant for this kind of fight. I'm fascinated by how these two are going to come together. And honestly, I feel like it could be very, very competitive. And they've both got a really good chance of winning. There are certain things that we learned about Gamrot in his losses, and there are certain things we've learned about Fazeev in his losses as well. But they're both very studious. They both get into the cage with the expectation of whether it's going to be a hard fight, whether they're going to have to dig deep. Like, there's no way that Gamrot got into a fight against Jalen Turner and thought it was going to be an easy fight. He's just problematic and long and rangy and difficult. So Gamrot got in there with the mentality that this was going to be a hard slog. If he does the same thing with Fazeev, then he's not going to be rattled by any early pressure that he's under, by any shots that he gets caught with. Fazeev against Gaethje was a little bit too happy to throw and hit whatever was there. We need to see him return to the strategic strike delivery, because like this is the trap with Gaethje, and I'm this is something I'm learning about in the process of this year, to be honest. Like, the excitement of being able to hit somebody sometimes means people disregard their setups, their logic when it comes to the application and delivery of techniques. Like, Fazeev was throwing at Gaethje and not really hitting with anything significant because Gaethje's happy to be in the pocket and cover. So Fazeev almost kind of spent too much energy kicking and hitting nothing, and Gaethje was able to, you know, make him pay for it. It's going to be different against Gamrot because Gamrot's not going to be there to hit. So this is where Fazeev, I'm hoping he's going to return to that more strategic, more calculated striking style that he's got. And if he does, then we're going to see really, really interesting technical back and forths. If he gets too overzealous and he feels like he's just a better striker than Gamrot, then he's going to most likely end up on the floor dealing with Americanas and Kimuras and ankle locks. There's one thing I haven't gone through, which is the striking, which is the statistics, and I'll quick do that and then wrap up. So strikes landed per minute falls quite heavily onto Fazeev's side. He lands two more strikes per minute than Gamrot, and because they've both got the same striking accuracy, he's landing those two strikes. Striking defense is slightly higher for Gamrot, but then you've got to think that the types of fights that Fazeev has had and the opponents that he's had are going to sway that striking defense quite considerably. Takedown average, massive on the side of Gamrot. 4.5 takedowns per 15 minutes at least. 31% success rate, which means that he's, you know, a third of the takedowns that he's attempting, he's scoring, but that doesn't mean the other 60-odd%, 70% of takedowns that he's attempting are not valuable, because as we know from these clips, they result in the takedown happening ultimately in the scramble. 90% takedown defense for both of these. I expect Fazeev to have excellent takedown defense, but I do expect Gamrot to be able to challenge that by the chaining together of the wrestling. What haven't I said? I mean, Fazeev is hard. He's like spent like a minute, nearly not less, not quite 2 minutes in bottom position total, which is 1.73% of his UFC career. It's going to be difficult to hold him down, but this is what makes this fight so interesting for me. Two very skilled, very well-rounded fighters that are going to try and take this fight into different ranges in different ways. What a fight this is going to be. Have I said everything? I think I have. I've rattled on at you guys for long enough. I hope this has made some sense. I feel like there are certain things we have to watch out for, is the trickery in the striking of Fazeev. And from Gamrot, it's the ability to chain things together and not get so committed to one particular takedown. Grab, release. It's very, very exhausting and feels like you can't get away from someone that can wrestle like that. What a great fight this is going to be. Very, very excited. Quick shout out to Harney.com. Go and check them out. Use the code FULLREPTILE. You'll get 15% off. And we've also got Outlaw Rum, one of the other channel sponsors. Make sure you check them out, outlawrum.co.uk. Fantastic beverages. Everything you need for a good fight night. All right, enjoy, and I'll see you next time.